it's been a tough past few seasons, like, you know, rebuilding the team and not being part of the playoffs. It hasn't been easy, but, you know, I'm excited for our group. You know, I thought, you know, we came in, you know, because we had to do that quarantine. So our guys came in early and they skated and we had a good training camp, and Travis and his coaching staff have done an excellent job, you know, with our players. And our players, I got to give them credit. They, you know, they've worked hard all through camp. They were excited to play that series against Minnesota, and they came out and worked hard, and we played hard. We stuck with it, and we're able to win the series. So, you know, I think we're happy that we won the series. Our goal at the start of the year was to make the playoffs, but we're not satisfied because, you know, now we got a big test in playing St. Louis in this first playoff series.
I'm glad you brought that up about not being satisfied, Jim, because some of the things that, you know, I keep hearing, you know, as well as anybody, being in Edmonton, being around your team, they've really come together. We've heard JT Miller talk about that as well, and Travis has mentioned it. Sometimes you really need something to rally around, and when you get past that first challenge, and especially the way the guys came back in that game four, being down three different times, and they still were able to come back from the deficits and win in overtime, that there is that belief now that we can do more than just beat the Wild. Like, there is that belief with the guys all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, they, you know, you even watch them at practice, and, you know, they're continuing to work hard, but it seems like they're having fun as a group, and they're working hard for one another, and they want, you can tell as a group, they want success. So, you know, from a team building standpoint, in my perspective, that's good to see.
How rewarding is it for you, Jim, or you, at the very least, interesting? You have a lot of, you know, veteran guys on this roster that you've really believed in signing or trading for at various times, and the time to shine for some of these guys is really this, I don't say this time of year because it's August, but this part of the season, and we haven't been able to see that, but now we're seeing, you know, the Beagles and the Sutters and the Myers, you know, play in the types of games that are really the reason you acquired them.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've had a plan, you know, since I've come in here, we've had a plan, and our plan was, is we wanted to draft skilled players, and we wanted to, you know, make sure that our core group of players going forward is going to be players that we draft and that they were going to be skilled. And so that was our plan from an amateur standpoint. But the other part to that, too, is signing some veteran players to help these kids develop properly during the regular season. And then if we were to make the playoffs, you know, that's where the experience is going to show up. And I think we've seen that, like, you know, with some of our older players have killed penalties, and they've had experience in doing that before. Even Louis Erickson, I thought this first series was excellent in his defensive play, and, you know, he's been really good with Bo and Pearson. So, you know, that was the plan all along. And I'm happy that, you know, we were able to play in this play down round and now compete in the playoffs. So it's excellent for our young players to get that experience. Like, we can talk all we want about, you know, what it's like to play in the playoffs, but for our young guys to, you know, to actually do it for the first time for themselves, and they see the intensity and the focus, I think it's just going to make them better players going forward.
Well, you mentioned that, Jim, you know, having that success again, making the playoffs. And I know you talked to Ian in the articles up on sportsnet.ca, and you told him, yeah, it did take a bit longer than you had hoped to get back into the playoffs. And obviously, in any position, whether you are a coach, GM, or a player, you're always kind of learning and adjusting your plan and working through things and discovering new things. So when you kind of look at your tenure and when you began, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about getting tougher as a team, getting meat and potatoes and stuff. And of course, you know, through the draft, there's been skilled players drafted throughout those years, but from a managerial perspective and putting this team together and how you had envisioned it would go early on and where you are today, like, how much have you learned yourself throughout that entire process about how unpredictable it is to be in a position like this, running a national hockey team and trying to retool it?
Yeah, well, it's I never once thought it was going to be easy. You know, when you take these jobs over, you know, and they had such a good run of success before I took the job, and you know, winning President's trophies and you know, going a long ways in the playoffs. That, and you know, I was part of that in Boston, as you trade draft picks to add that one more piece because you think that last piece is the piece to the puzzle to winning. And you know, so you're not really focused on, you know, rebuilding. You're just trying to win now. So I get all that part of it. But you know, since, and then when I took the job, you know, we had to start like from scratch, drafting, you know, drafting well. We had a group of players that have had a lot of success that, you know, a lot of them had no trade contracts that we couldn't move, and you know, and then it freed up cap space and allowed us to, you know, sign some free agents, sign Tyler Myers, make that JT Miller trade, to help our group move forward. So I think it's a combination of, you know, that we've drafted well. We've signed some guys, some older players through free agency to help with the development of our younger players. And then I got to give credit to the players that have stuck it out with us. You know, from when I was here, when I first started, Jacob Markstrom's been excellent for us all year. Chris Tanev has been huge in the development of Quinn Hughes and some of our other younger players, and Alex Edler. And you know, it's tough when you're not winning to be a veteran player and playing in the league and not being in the playoffs. But you know, those guys have, you know, continued to work hard, and they deserve a lot of credit for, you know, the development of our young players.
Well, and Jim, you kind of mentioned, especially early on, you guys really wanted to add some veterans and guys that show the young guys how to have success if you get to the playoffs. And, you know, it took a while to get back here. Now you're here. But now when these young guys get that experience, and when it comes to team building beyond this season to get back in the playoffs, because now the expectation is every year you're a playoff team with this young, exciting group of players, how much does the focus kind of shift when you're building a team towards, yeah, you want to spend money and add help, support guys that help out and bring leadership, but you're going to have to spend a lot more money on your younger guys. So when it comes to how you're trying to budget for your roster and who you want to pay money for, do you get to a spot now where you almost can't afford to go after too many of those guys that offer those intangibles because you got to take care of your young guys that are going to get paid a lot?
Yeah, and I think we've been here long enough now to draft and develop our own players that are ready to play. Like Zach McEwen is a guy that, you know, our people in Utica have done a real good job developing, and he's ready to step in and play that role for us. So I think we've been here long enough now where we got some good players in the system that have been through Utica. You know, Ole Ulevi has come a long ways in the last couple of years. Jalen Chatfield, it looks like he's ready to play. So, you know, we've been here long enough now where we've, you know, from the time you draft them till you develop them, you know, sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5 years. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, how long we've been here. So we've been able to build up our prospect pool. And so I don't, we're not going to be looking to free agency anymore. We're going to try to sign, you know, some of the players that we have now. And we got, you know, young players coming through our system that we're going to play going forward that we think can help us win.
Jim Benning is our guest on a Canucks playoff game day. Andrew Walker Sethi, our Shaw Sportsnet 650. JT Miller, Jim, now the trade is finally complete, I guess, with the lottery over and you win the series against Minnesota. This was a deal that you made, and it didn't come without its element of risk. And I'm sure you map out, okay, here's the best case scenario for us and JT Miller, and here's the worst case scenario. And it ends up being really the best case scenario for you guys, doesn't it?
That's what we were hoping for when we made the deal, is that, you know, that we were going to be a playoff team, or he was going to help out with the development along. And you know, I guess the thing that we didn't know is the impact that he was going to have on our group, because he's, you know, been on good teams before that have, you know, gone a long ways in the playoffs. And he's just right at that age where he's coming here, and like a lot of our players look up to him, and he's been an excellent role model for, you know, the Bo Horvats, the Jake Virtanens, you know, Petey, Quinn. Brock, like, and he's helped these guys get better. When he's, he's the type of guy where he's like an old school player, and he, when a player's not playing good, he'll be the first one to go and tap him on the shin pads, and to get him going again and to get his confidence up. And he's also the guy that if a guy gets too big for his britches, that he makes sure that he lets him know that, hey, we still got work to do here, and let's not get bigger than the team and stuff. So, and that, I guess his leadership is something that that I didn't know about till he showed up here, but he's been so good for a whole team and our organization.
And Jim, I mean, the other player you guys added, a big trade you guys made right ahead of the deadline, was getting Tyler Toffoli. And man, was he on fire towards the end of the season before everything got shut down. And we only saw him in that one game against the Minnesota Wild. Do you have any update as to whether we should expect to see Toffoli against the Blues in this series at all?
Well, I'd love to share that with you guys, but like I've said before, it's the standard line is not fit to play. He's still with the team and he's rehabbing, but we don't know yet when he'll be back.
On your Levy, because you did mention him before, how encouraged have you been with where he got playing that one game in game four? Tough situation. It was less than 7 minutes, but he still showed up. Didn't make mistakes, and at times actually helped keep the pressure in the offensive zone, and he made some good plays. But how much more encouraged are you today compared to maybe where you were a year ago, considering everything he's gone through injury-wise?
Yeah, well, I never worried about him as a player because, we drafted him because he was a high hockey sense guy. He has patience with the puck. He's got his head up. He can make the play up ice. That part of it I didn't worry about. The part that was a little worrisome the last couple of years was all the injuries he's had. But he's been healthy now. He's had a real good training camp for us. Like I thought, our training camp before we came to Edmonton, like he really opened a lot of eyes in our own organization about the type of player that, everybody thinks he can become. And so that was a high pressure situation for him the other night, with fans not being able to go. We told him, like, Travis told him that morning that he was going to play, and he went in. And, I know he didn't play a lot of minutes, but the minutes he did play, I thought he was smart. He moved the puck. I'm excited. I'm really excited for him because it's been a tough couple years for him. And it's nice to see that, he's been healthy. And I think, going forward, we're just going to get to see the best of Ole Levy.
One more on the injury front, Jim, it's a guy that we know isn't going to be back in this playoff run, and that's Michael Ferland. There's the contractual issues and everything like that, but I guess what are your feelings on everything Mike's been through? And he comes back and he fights in game one and tries to be a warrior for this team for sure. But what type of conversations does everybody need to have going forward?
Well, that, I feel bad about that whole situation because he, through training camp, he came back and he felt really good and he was flying out there. We seen the Michael Ferland that we signed, like he was scoring in the scrimmages, he was getting in on the forecheck and recovering pucks, and for, a big body guy, he can make good plays with the puck, make good passes. So, he felt like 100%, and then, he came in, played, had a setback. We're going to continue to work with him and, hopefully, he gets better again and he can, continue his career and continue playing for us, because when he does play and he is healthy, he's a unique player because he's a guy that, can add physicality to your group, but he can also play with good players and make good play to hope for the best for him.
You mentioned Ole Levy, Jim, and maybe he's a guy that does change the equation coming up whenever next season starts. But I wonder going forward and in this series specifically, where your evaluation lies. Like, you do have some decisions to make on players. We all know that. But in watching big boy hockey against the St. Louis Blues, How much stock do you put into a series like this in the sense of, all right, here's where we want to be. This is the type of game we need to play if we want to win anything going forward. Here's who can help us, and here's who can't.
Yeah, well, that's the part of, you know, a general manager's job. You're always trying to figure out the players that you think you can win a championship with, and you want to keep those players. And the players that, you know, don't show up in critical times in a series and stuff are, you know, maybe players that, you know, if you can, you want to replace. So, you know, that part of a general manager's job never ends, and, you know, that'll continue in this series. We know St. Louis is a veteran team. You know, they won the Stanley Cup last year. We know they're going to play a certain style of hockey and be patient. So it's going to be a good test for us because, you know, we're going to have to be patient with them. And St. Louis is comfortable playing, you know, 0-0, 1-0 when the score is close. They're comfortable playing in those style games. And, you know, I think we've worked hard through training camp to try to buckle down defensively. And, you know, we got to see where we're at if, you know, we're going to be comfortable playing tight, checking, close games.
He is Jim Benning, the general manager of the Canucks. Hey, we're fired up for you, Jim, and for the market, obviously. We look forward to game one. Try to enjoy it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.